But right now I want to invite up Ryan. Ryan works with CanIL and has been a Bible translator and currently trains Bible translators. And him and his wife, Jordan, have been all over, in some pretty cool places translating the Bible. And so we've invited him to kind of share part of his story with us today. And then he's going to share with us our theme verse for the day out of Romans chapter 10. So Ryan, let me pray for you, and then we'll turn it over, and excited for the word that you have for us today. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. I pray that you would speak through my friend Ryan. Thank you for his story. Thank you for the journey that you have had him and his family on for many years. Thank you for the calling to be a missionary, to transform the world with the gospel. And so, Lord, may his story inspire us, may it challenge us, may it make us uncomfortable to think about how we're spreading the gospel in our world, in our lives, in our communities. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the verse that you've put on his heart. We thank you for his story, and may you speak to us. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Ryan. Let's give it up for Ryan, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, we've been around North Langley Community Church for a long time. I think I'm going on like 14 years of being a member. We came to do our training at Canada Institute of Linguistics. Back in 2011 was when I came, and then we were gone for a big chunk of our lives. Our first assignment with Pioneer Bible Translators was to go to the South Pacific island nation of Vanuatu. And there's some pictures kind of flashing up from that past life of ours. I served as a translation specialist there, and Jordan, my wife, served as our literacy specialist, and we were working training mother tongue translators to translate the Bible into their own language, four different people groups. And this is my adoptive dad. We just recently published and dedicated a large chunk of the Old Testament. They already have the New Testament, but he was asked to read a psalm at the dedication ceremony. And this is me. In this picture, he's saying, "This is my son." And there's this verse, where Jesus says, "If you leave your father and mother, I will give you," I forget the exact words, but, father and mother and more besides. And we were just so blessed to be in Vanuatu and be adopted. This is my family's little hamlet on the island of Ambai. It's a volcano, and we lived there part-time and then part-time in the city on another island. But here's Jordan making a traditional food, and that's with my adoptive mom and sister. And this next picture is our adoption ceremony. When a baby turns two, they have a naming ceremony and feed a baby their first food. And for us, we're in our 20s. So they named us and fed us. My dad named me Tamata Goguna. Tamata is our family name, which means peace. It's actually closer to shalom, which is really cool, that Hebrew word. My given name is Holy, so it's quite a name to live up to. And then Jordan's Toa Tambayana. Tambayana is a word that's hard to translate into English, but you say it when someone gives you a really good gift. And that's the first scripture we published. It's the beginning of the book of Genesis in their four languages. And then I think this last picture is a literacy workshop Jordan conducted. And she's home with our kids. We're all a little bit under the weather today, but she was here at the first service and shared this story about I was there in this literacy workshop. They were reading. One of the cool things is when you're teaching people how to read in their own language, this particular language, almost the only thing that was published is parts of the Bible. So that's what we were reading. And they're reading the Bible in their own language for the first time. And one of the guys spoke up and said, "Wow, this is so clear. This is the first time I'm really understanding this. Like, I didn't realize the Bible was so easy to understand." Because he had been hearing it in a second language his whole life, but he'd never heard it in his own language. And the whole room was just nodding along, like, yes, what he's saying is true. Is that all the pictures? But anyway, that's a little glimpse of our life in Vanuatu. That was our first assignment with Pioneer Bible Translators. And then our second assignment is being here training students at the Canada Institute of Linguistics at Trinity Western University. And Jordan teaches our literacy classes, and I teach two of my main ones are translation. And then another course is articulatory phonetics, which is just how to make all of the sounds of the world's spoken languages and then write those down. So that's what we're doing now, and right now, I get the privilege of preaching. I think I might just pray again. I don't think we can ever pray too much. Father, thank you so much for the scriptures, for the Bible in our own language. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me. If I share anything that's not of you, I pray that everyone would just forget it, and that you would give me the words, and that your word would bear fruit in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So about 8 years ago, I was sitting in a waiting room in Vanuatu, and I sat down next to this elderly guy, and I struck up a conversation with him. It turns out he was a chief from a neighboring island, and that, I was like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, well, what do you do? I was like, oh, I'm not a chief. But I told him about Bible translation and why we were there, and I'll never forget his reaction. He just kind of interrupted me as I was talking about Bible translation. He was like, God bless you. We really want to follow Jesus here, but how can we when we don't even understand what he said? Our experience wasn't really like Nasser's. Vanuatu is a pretty openly Christian place, but at the same time, I'll tell a story a bit later in my sermon. It's a place that very much still needs Jesus, and there's many people groups who lack the Bible in their language still there. But our text today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And if you're not familiar with the word apostle, it's kind of a weird one, but it basically means one who is sent. And I think that's a really fitting word today. So we're going to be in chapter 10, and our main verse is on the screen there, 10:15. But I'll start reading in verse 8 just to kind of give a little bit more context. So it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Beautiful feet. When you hear the word beautiful, feet is probably not the first thing that pops into your head. But there we have it. and I think that's a fine translation of the Greek word horaioi. But there's other options to us as English speakers. I think another good word that captures the other sense, maybe the primary sense of this word, is timely. But beautiful is a fine translation, and we're in good company if we stick with that one. Origen, the church father, understood it to have this sense, but he was a little confused about it. He's wrestling with it, and he wrote down, you know, something like, surely Paul isn't talking about physical feet, because that's embarrassing and weird. So it must be some sort of spiritual feet. You know, the feet are what messengers use to travel, so their feet are spiritually beautiful or something like that. But timely could kind of make more sense of why it pairs with feet. How timely are the feet of those who bring good news? So a lot of biblical scholars, Doug Moo, Robert Jewett, others think timely is a really good translation. But I think they're similar enough in this present context. In fact, I think a very apt exclamation when a timely messenger arrives is beautiful. This is great. This verse makes me think of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second one, in chapter 6, where he writes, "Today is the day of salvation." It's always timely for a herald bringing good news. For the last 2,000 years, every day has been a day of salvation. Every day has been a day when people like us desperately need good news. I don't think it should take you long to agree with me, especially if you're an adult. Our lives, our world is filled with so much death, destruction, pain, and disease. It's quite easy, at least for me, to be hopeless about it all. If that's all we're looking at anyway, the world just keeps spinning around and around, war after war, famine after famine, just so much evil and darkness. But this darkness is only part of the story, the losing part of the story, because Jesus, the light of the world, always overcomes the darkness. And in the words of Sally Lloyd-Jones, Jesus is making the sad things come untrue. Jesus is the ultimate good news. Mark starts his biography of Jesus' life with the words, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ." The good news is not primarily a thing or an idea. The good news is first and foremost a person, Jesus, who is alive and among us by his Spirit. I really like this quote from Ambrosiaster. We don't really know exactly who they are, but they had good things to say. A few hundred years after Jesus, they wrote this commentary on Paul's letters, and this is what they had to say about Romans 10:15. "By talking about feet, he means the coming of the apostles who went round the world preaching the coming of the kingdom of God. For their appearance enlightened mankind by showing them the way toward peace with God. The way which John the Baptist had come to prepare. This is the peace to which those who believe in Christ are hastening. Then Saint Simeon, seeing the discord in the world, rejoiced at the coming of the Savior, saying, 'Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, because the kingdom of God is peace, and all discord is taken away when everyone bows the knee to the one God.'" Amen. For us, there is one King, no matter where we live or where we're from. And the best form of unity comes through our mutual submission and worship of God. And this is why Paul was called and sent. In the very first verse, the beginning of Romans, we read, "Paul, a servant of Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God." And we read about his calling in Acts 9 and in other places in his letters about how Jesus commissioned him and sent him to the nations, especially those who were not Jews. And Jesus also commissioned his first students, his apprentices, as we call them, at North Langley. And it says at the end of Matthew's biography of Jesus' life, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Some doubted. But Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So Jesus trained these apprentices and appeared to Paul later on and called them and sent them. And his mandate to them has been passed down to us through the generations, to all of us who are believers, and we are to preach Jesus to the ends of the earth, which might be where we are right now. So we were commissioned to do this exciting work, and you guys, after nearly 2,000 years, we still have so much work to do. It's hard to be heralds of the good news to people who don't have the Bible in their language. And as of a year ago, there were 7,396 languages in the world. We counted them up. And out of all those, 744 of those people groups have the whole Bible in their language. So there is a lot to do. We are so privileged to have this. But we are seeing scripture translated at an unprecedented rate. And it's possible that people from all 7,000 plus of those people groups will have at least some scripture in our lifetime. Yeah, it's really encouraging to see all the work that's being done. So my life's purpose and Jordan's purpose is to serve these Bible-less people. And I don't have the time this morning to go into the details of how God called us to serve or much else about our life in Vanuatu. But I do want to share one more story. When we were sitting down with our translators, training them to translate the Old Testament, one of our texts that we used was part of Deuteronomy. And they were translating... we chose this passage because it's about witchcraft and sorcery, which aren't super common things in Alder Grove. But there in Vanuatu, super common. And one of our translators just was kind of mad. He's like, "What? Is this true? Why has no one told me this?" This is the first time in his life that he had heard that God detests this sort of thing. And they were all really cut to the heart, and they're like, "Wow, this is important. We really want to translate this well." So they would get up, I think it was like 4 a.m. every morning. We had 8 hours of class a day, and they would get up before the sun even came up and just go on their knees and ask the Spirit to fill them and give them the words for their people. Yeah, our time in Vanuatu was so rich and fulfilling. I'd love to share more about it sometime if you guys are curious. And our time back in Canada has been too. We have the privilege of training these wonderful younger sisters and brothers of ours and watching them graduate and go throughout the whole world and serve in the areas of Bible translation and other areas in linguistics and literacy to bring the Bible to the Bible-less. We have alumni on every single continent except for Antarctica. So we've got things covered, but there's still lots of need on the continents that we've sent people to. So I don't know what your impressions or views of missionaries are. I don't know if you think they're super Christians or something. That's something I've come across. People are like, "Oh, wow, you're a missionary." We're just normal Christians. We don't have super, well, we have the Holy Spirit, but so do you. We were called by God to cross an ocean, to go to people who are different than us. That's the only difference. But all of us believers are called to be apprentices to Jesus. And that means that if we're apprentices to Jesus, we're also called to make apprentices for Jesus, of Jesus. And that's what we're called to do wherever we are as we're going, whether God placed us here in Alder Grove, somewhere else in the Lower Mainland, or somewhere farther away. And maybe you're actually here this morning and you're like, "Okay, well, this isn't me. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a believer." And if that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to pray and ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. And those of us who are believers would love to sit down and talk with you and answer your questions if you have any. But those of us who are believers, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. We need to remind ourselves of the good news every day. Remind ourselves that Jesus is the good news. And we're called to bring this good news of Jesus to our families, to our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, teammates, all the people we interact with. And I just want to encourage and challenge all of you to listen to God. And what is God saying to you? Maybe he's calling you to cross your backyard fence, maybe the street. Maybe, though, he's calling you to cross an ocean. I don't know, but just listen, because I'm confident that God has a plan for each and every one of your lives. There's lots of ways you can join in to bless the Bible-less. You can go. We'd love to train you if you're interested in being a Bible translator or serving in some sort of language-related ministry. We'd love to have you at CanIL. But also, maybe God's calling you to go in some other capacity. Or maybe he's not. You all have the ability to be generous with your finances. So many people are towards us, and there's lots of great organizations actively engaged in Bible translation. Some of our missionaries are with Wycliffe. We're with PBT, Pioneer Bible Translators. And there's always opportunities to give. Another huge way, and this is often underrated, is praying. You guys, prayer works. At Pioneer Bible Translators, that's actually our primary strategy. And that's honestly how we feel like a lot of what we do gets done, because we can't do it on our own. This is God's work. And we're seeing God answer prayer requests in amazing ways. And you can join us in that. So I just want to encourage you today sometime. Be quiet before the Lord and just ask, God, what do you want to say to me? North Langley, we are the light of the world. We are to bring the light of Jesus to this dark and despairing place. I just have this short blessing I want to read over you from Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.